The reading this morning is from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your hand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the great readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
I should have introduced myself earlier, so I'm sorry. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Adam, but I'm pretty sure I know most of you here. I wasn't down to talk this morning, so I had to write this within 2 hours on Friday night, because yesterday I was at a curate training day in Oxford all day. So I apologise if it's not what you were expecting. Thank you, John. I was also in a car crash yesterday as well, on my way back. It wasn't as bad as it sounds or looks. Everyone is fine, and that's the good thing. And I think this talk, particularly this verse, has come at a time, an interesting time for this church, particularly for this Sunday, and the things that I think for those of us who are in leadership have just felt that we've been under a huge amount of attack, if you like, this particular last couple of weeks. So with that, I think it'd be a great place to start in prayer. Let's just wait on God. Heavenly Father, will you, amongst the busyness and stresses and the attacks of this week, may we step into you and may we hide and be protected by you in your strength and not in ours. May you use these words today for your glory and for your glory alone. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So today we're looking at Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20, and we're looking at the armour of God. Don't worry, I'm not going to get you to come up and try the armour of God on again. But let's really have a look at this and how we can use it on a daily basis to tackle some of the situations that really bring us down. So first of all, let's look at the context in which the letter was written in. So the letter of Ephesians was written by Paul the Apostle for the audience of the Ephesian church. Throughout the letter, the Apostle Paul describes the privilege and wonder of the life of Christ, and he encourages the Ephesian church to live in a way that is suitable to such privilege. So he's encouraging the Ephesian church to basically live a righteous life that is in faith in Christ. In the last section, of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul warns the Ephesian church to be ready for battle. Right living does not happen so easily, only because opposition is certain. The Apostle Paul is very aware of the real evil that is present, hence the need to empower the Ephesian church. This final section is, if you like, a call to arms, ready for action. Now, I don't know about you, but imagine, you know, we have maybe Sue or one person from the PCC member come up here and they tell you, right, you need to put on your armour, right? As a church members, you're hearing a church leader come up and say to you, come on, put your armour of God on. And you're like, what are you on about? What is this armour we are talking about? Well, let's have a look into that today. And obviously, it's not a physical kind of armour. Don't worry, we haven't got a secret cupboard here full of armour and we're going to, you know, give it to you to go out for your workplace and stuff like that. That's not going to happen. We're lacking storage here. Let's have a look into this. So standing firm is about empowering to us as Christians. It's not an action necessarily that we have to do. It's something that empowers us, okay? And standing firm literally means you've got a ton of problems coming that way, that way, that way, and that way, and you stand firm. Okay, great. And so, I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're in work or there's a family situation and you just feel, I don't think I can take this anymore. You know, I think yesterday was one of them moments for me, particularly after the car crash. And I was a bit like, okay, God, is there anything else that is going to come my way today? Anything else at all? And I just had the remembering of this, the words that God spoke to me on Friday night was to stand firm in his strength. And that's the most important thing, that we need to, in trials and when we face really difficult situations, that we're not trying to resolve things in our own strength. Because honestly, when we do it in our strength, it always goes wrong. And it makes the situation 10 times worse than what it needs to be. And so if we do things in God's strength, we are doing things in his knowledge and with his help and with the tools that he has equipped us with. And therefore, we are able to achieve things by doing things in his strength, okay? So standing firm is all about empowering us as Christians and not something we do by ourselves. And the standing firm is not just, let me just turn the button on, I'm going to stand firm for this situation. No, it's continuously. Because that's what standing firm means. You stand firm. You do not move your ground. I mean, if you look at the last week, it was mine and Emma's 10th wedding anniversary, and we stayed in a hotel in Buckingham. And down the road is where the code breakers were debreaking all of the code for World War II. So they were debreaking all of the codes for Hitler and the army. And if they didn't stand firm, if they didn't continuously pursue their gifting and their mission to break all of these codes, where would we be today? So they had to continuously keep breaking the codes in order to get the message that they needed to understand, to have the upper hand as such. And what this verse is calling us to do is to put on the armor of God and just literally stand firm in God. That is it. It's not asking you to raise up an army or anything like that and to go outside and start attacking people, because this fight is not about people. It's about the evil forces. And to name it, it's Satan or the devil. It's as simple as that. And so this verse is to call the Ephesian church into action to empower them to stand firm in their faith. Verse 13, put on the full armour God is repeated of the command in Ephesians 4:24. But it's worded slightly differently, and it says, put on the new self. created to be like God in true holiness and righteousness. Because our identity is in Christ, and that identity is all about our new creation. We have a new creation within ourselves because God has made us new. And when we step into the armor of God, he's also telling us to, at the same time, to step into that new creation. So that we are one with God. Putting on the armor of God, which he has made for every single one of you. Don't worry, there's not going to be miniature sizes, so you can't put them on. There's going to be one exactly for you with your name tag on it, so no one else can steal it either. And it's going to fit you perfectly. And it's the thing is about putting on the armor of God, it's the same armor as God's. So it's not like he says, I don't know, John, here's your one. This is your one. It's the same armor. It's from him. It's a gift that he gives from him to us. Because if I were to go in my garage and build a sword and a shield, that's the armor and protection that I've made, and I'm doing it in my own strength and not relying on his. So the armor that we have is really important, that it's his armor. And we're not to do things in our strength. Some of you are listening. And so by putting that on, we are to enter into his protection for our own safety. And the moment that we do things in our strength, we're stepping outside of his protection. Because what we're basically saying is, no, God, you're not a big God. I can deal with all of the problems all in my own strength, and I can deal with everything because I have got all of the problems. That is what we're saying. And that is what God particularly says in one of his commandments to us, that we are to love him and we are to worship him with all of our soul, mind, and spirit. And so we are to do things in his strength. That's as simple as that. We can go on with our daily lives that he has called us to do, but we've got to do it in his strength and in his armor. Stand and firm, meaning strength, stability, and success in conflict or difficulty. I want to stress that this battle or fight, again, is not against anyone in this room. It's not against any family member that we've fallen out with. It's not against anyone outside there. It's against Satan and his army that are out there to distract us. And I want to, someone told me this a long time ago, and I found it really helpful, that Satan does not care a single thing about you. His only interest is that he wants to distract your worship to God, so then he gets the worship instead. That's exactly what he wants to happen. Because as soon as we lose our focus on God, I don't know about you, but everything just seems to fall apart normally. And then you're just like, oh, why did I even lose that focus in the first place? Look at all of this mess that needs to be tidied up. And so it's so much easier continuously to stay in the presence of God, in his protection, in his will. And this message is nothing new. In the Old Testament, this is why I love the Old Testament so much. This is the message that is repeated over and over and over in many different stories. If you stay in my protection, in my provision, I will give you so much blessing. And so the evil, evil derives from the devil, and the devil does not care about you, but his sole focus is to distract us from worshipping God. Evil rarely looks evil until it accomplishes its goal. It gains attention by being attractive, desirable, and legitimate, but it's only a trap. And of course, we know who has conquered death is Jesus. He's already won. I often think, devil, why are you even trying? You've lost. Give it up. But so we know that he's already won. Jesus has already won the battle. And of course, we always need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus all the time. Even in the most scariest times, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. A couple years ago, I was doing a similar talk, and just before, funny enough, on Friday night, God brought me back to this kind of reflection. And it was, who remembers Tom and Jerry? Yeah. It was a program that I used to love watching when I was a child, and I've forgotten the name, but the mama, she would be out on the porch sweeping away, and she would get mad, being like, no, I can't, I'm not going to do the accent because I can't. But, you know, she would be like, Tom or Jerry, you get out of here. And she is standing firm because that house is hers, and she says she doesn't want a mouse or a cat in her. She was often quite protective of the mouse. I always get them too mixed up. It was Jerry that was the mouse, wasn't it? And so she would get angry at the cat for being mean to the mouse, and so she would be like, "Get out!" And she was standing her firm. And sometimes God has given us a voice to say them things in authority when we stand in His authority. And in his protection and in his provision. So we need to stand firm. The one thing that I really want to reiterate, that I know sometimes when people talk about Satan, the devil, all of the other names he's got, it can be quite scary. The sole thing that you need to do is to not worry about him, but keep your eyes solely fixed on Jesus. Because the moment we start to worry about that, we've already lost our distraction from Jesus. He is the one who brings peace and love. And he's the one that has conquered all things and has paid all the debt that you could ever accumulate. He's paid it all. One thing this verse talks about is praying in the Spirit. This is a particular section that I want us to focus on today for a couple reasons. And this is something that God has really... I want to share a story, actually. When I was... I haven't been a Christian all my life. And when I was... we used to go to Soul Survivor festivals. And we used to see God there move in amazing ways. And there would be one time, me and a guy called David, the nickname was Adam and Eve. It was funny. It clearly isn't right now, but it's fine. And so me and him went down there for a day trip, and all of the young people were there, and we were teenagers. And so they prayed for us, because everyone had to pray for everyone. And then me and David were the young kind of teenagers who were really energetic and on fire for God, perhaps a little bit too much, okay? The annoying type, right? And so we kind of, everyone who was circled around us, we then turned around and started praying for all of them and seeing God happen in amazing ways. And over time, and when we left Soul Survivor that day, we went home and we did it in our churches and we did it in our home groups and amongst our friends, and we were the annoying Christians that everyone avoided once they had prayer from us, right? And what started to happen over the time is that I started to focus the gifting that God had given me on myself. I was attracted to the power of what was happening in front of me. And then all of a sudden, the amazing things that was happening stopped. And so I would pray harder. And I would not allow someone to move away until I physically saw something happen. And nothing happened because I stepped outside of God's protection, out of his will, out of his love, etc. It's a power that is not to be focused on, because as soon as we focus on the power, we lose our distraction and our love for God. That's it. And so A couple of years ago, I used to run a youth ministry, and there was this, it was great because the teenagers would go out and do community action. And I was always petrified as the leader, because when you release teenagers out into a town and they spread the gospel, you do not know what's going to happen when they come back. Obviously, there's leaders with them. And often they would bring back non-Christians. And so safeguarding-wise, it was always a bit risky, but we had things in place. And so, and there would be a team meal, and they would be welcoming people from the streets to come back and have a meal. And around that meal, we would then have a conversation about Jesus. And there was this one time where they found this lady. She had two boys. They were at the skate park, and they brought them back. They had a meal. They met Jesus. And she was just like, so how do I pray? And I'd be like, well, it's quite simple, actually. You know this conversation that we're having right now? It's as simple as that. We just have a conversation with God. That's it. And that the spirit that's inside you is always interceding on our behalf to God, continuously. It never stops. And then when he wants to talk to us, which he does very often, we just choose not to listen most of the time, he speaks to us through that spirit. And that Holy Spirit is Jesus' spirit that he left on this earth, that is in us, lives in every single one of you. Every single one of you. The same spirit that raised people from the dead, that fed the 5,000, is living inside you. So next time you get scared, next time you face a really difficult situation, that spirit that conquered death lives inside you. And again, that's not to focus any attention on yourself or that power. Our eyes are to remain fixed on Jesus. It's not a power that we talk about impressive acts. It's only power when we are obedient to God's call to use such gifts. Because the praise and attention is on God and not our gifts. Praying in the Spirit means we continuously have access to God and the gifts he gives us. It is not something we can simply turn on or off. We are to do it continuously. Yeah.
So we're not to get excited by the power, right?
Yeah.
But we need to take authority.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
Good. That's a really good question. Thanks for asking that. The difference is this. So the authority, if you use the authority of God, you are in a scenario, perhaps. A couple of weeks ago, me and Emma, we felt particularly worried about one of our children because of a situation that was happening. And so then Emma had a dream that night, and it really prompted her to pray. And it was a very particular dream. You know, sometimes you can have really weird dreams and they're just like, what on earth is this about? But then you have some dreams that give you absolute clarity for a particular situation. And Emma had that dream before the situation started to unfold, so it kind of prepared her for that. So she texts a friend and they started praying for the children, and that was stepping out in authority because of that particular dream that she had. So she started praying against some of the things that she saw in that dream. Okay, so that's standing out in authority. The difference between the focus on the power would be like, look at me, I got the dream. It's I who got the dream, not you. I got the dream. So when we start changing the focus from God and start focusing on anything else, that's the distraction. That's when we lose, and that's when we start focusing on the power. Now, there's, you know, I've never met a Christian who has given all of the gifts. I've never seen it. But there are a number of people, actually, I know all of you have been given gifts in some way. Some of you know that, some of you don't. And over the year, hopefully we can have an opportunity to look into that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Cool. Does anyone else have any other questions? That's fine. So it's not, praying in the Spirit means that it's not something that we can simply turn on and off. It's a case of, one thing that I am really grateful for working with Paul is that he prays all the time. All the time. He prays into some things. I'm a bit like, not quite sure we need to be praying for the church Hoover or something that's just an example. But he's really taught me the importance as a church leader to be praying continuously. And he is really humble about that. So it says to be alert is to be a continuous action. Because, imagine if you had a weird dream and you'd be like, oh, that's just a weird dream. Maybe God speaks to you in certain ways that he doesn't speak to other people. The lady who I mentioned earlier who asked about prayer, I continue to explain that. Well, because she said, how do you listen to God? And I said, well, think of it as an old radio. You've got to tune in to get the perfect sound. And anything that goes off sounds distorted and not quite the truth. And so you really need to listen to what the real frequency is to get the correct pitch and sound. And that way you can hear everything. And once you get used to that, it becomes a lot easier. And so the more you pray, the more you get used to doing that on a regular basis, and the more you start to learn how God is then speaking to you in that particular way. How God speaks to Sue or to John or to other people will be completely different to how God speaks to me or to anyone else. God speaks to us in all different kinds of ways, because if he spoke to us in the same way, I think that might be a bit boring in some sense. And God he made us all in his wonderful image, and we are all his creation. And so he made us all unique and wonderful. So be alert in continuous action, preserving in being alert, and by keep praying. And whilst praying, be guarded by peace. Now, I don't know about you, but when family members or there's a family dispute or situations outside or, something could be going wrong that is potentially difficult. I had some friends that they were concerned for their daughter. And so they said, right, we're going to be praying for our daughter. And they were quite angry about this. I completely understand why, but we're told in Scripture to pray in peace and in truth and in his Spirit. So God calls us to be peace bearers. We can't be peace bearers if we're going out there and we're having an argument with someone. It doesn't work like that. Because at one minute we're switching on, I'm a Christian, I pray in the Spirit, I believe everything that Jesus says, and in the next minute we're turning off, we're stepping outside and we're having an argument. It's a double life, and the world is watching us as a church, and we need to be the light bearers and the peace bearers. There was, to give you another example, in the youth ministry that I led, there would be times where I would spend 2 hours the day before, or even sometimes the morning of the youth event, just completely flat, laying on the floor with my face down in the carpet. It was clean beforehand, and I did Hoover. And I would just wait for God. And sometimes I would go around the church the night before with a mop, cleaning the floor, mopping the whole floor, praying for every single spot. And the next day or that day, I would see God move in
ways I have not seen since through young people. And it's not through anything that I did. The moment that I stopped praying and that time stopped and was getting reduced by other busyness things, I stopped seeing God move in that amazing way. And the evil one crept in. And that youth ministry had to shut down. My favourite quote, and it is so simple and yet so powerful, is this by a lady called Corrie Ten Boom. And she once said, "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire?" So I want you to think of a situation that you're particularly finding difficult at the moment that you're facing. Maybe it's a conversation with someone. Maybe it's financial problems. Are you sat there being anxious and worried about how you're going to deal with it? Or are you going to do something about it by simply praying? And by saying to God, "I can't do this on my own anymore. I need you to do it. I can't do it." And if I'm honest with you, with this talk this morning, that was my prayer. I can't do this. You need to do this. So Corrie Ten Boom once said, "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Because if you're going to do things in your strength and have prayer as your spare tire, you're probably going to crash a couple of times, like I did yesterday." And so the steering wheel is prayer, and that's why we need to put on the armor of God when we step into his authority, when we step into his protection, his provision, his love. It's never ending. Prayer is a powerhouse. It needs to be your decision-making place. The thing that drives your direction in life. Or is prayer the occasional cupboard that you go into once a year? So I finish with this. Be alert, stand firm, and wear the armor of God. And of which, when you step into your safe and protection by his strength alone, keep your eyes solely fixed on Jesus. And pray into the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. I wonder, and my challenge to you today is to this. When you get home today, find a place in your home. Find a chair that you absolutely adore. Shut the door, go in there and pray. And to simply say to this particular situation, "God, I hand it to you. I can't do this anymore." That is my prayer for you to do today. Because when, you know, Jesus talks about his yoke being so easy and light, it's not for us to carry any weight or burden upon ourselves. We are to hand it over to him. Shall we stand? I've been talking a while. Sorry, I get going a little bit on this topic. Why don't we just shake about, move on, get the blood going. And let us just wait on God. Heavenly Father, I give thanks for the people that are here in this room. I give thanks for the people that perhaps will listen to this later. And I pray that you will speak to their hearts. And I give thanks that you are standing with them right now in the situation that they may face. You know their heart, you know their cry, and you know what they need. Father, I give thanks that you have created every single person in this room and those outside. I give thanks that you have called us to be here for such a time as this. and I pray that we would go or stop listening, and that we will know that we are loved and that we are created and that we are protected by your strength when we remain in you. Father, we are fallen and we are broken, and you have paid all our debt and you have declared us righteous. So Father, today, may we stand firm and may we know and call upon you as our God, our Father in heaven. Amen.